Oh, the
Oh, yes.
scratches.
That's a good stuff.
Look at her.
Oh, she was just looking at me like,
Oh,
yes,
the
please. Give
scratches.
me more.
Order, order in the court. Thank you. Now. All rise. The court of public opinion is now in session. The Honorable Chief Justice Kristen and Associate Justice Austin presiding. Now calling to trial the multiverse's most controversial social debate topics. They shall be resolved once and for all. You may be seated.
Welcome to the Court of Public Opinion podcast, where boys and girls of every age tune in and listen to us debate. Come with us and you will hear arguments right in your ears. This is Coppapod, this is Coppapod, 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 Coppapod.
I did not approve this beforehand.
I took all that time to make a little parody. You don't appreciate that?
I'm afraid we're going to get copyrighted.
It was a parody.
You could just slap the word parody on everything and
I changed
it's okay.
A significant amount of words. Much more than the one word of whatever song I sang a few episodes ago. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Hello, Peanuts. My name is Kristen. I am a law student. I am not studying tech law, but I am going into it after law school, and I am your Chief Justice.
And I am Austin. I have a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. I draw rectangles for a living, and I am your Associate Justice.
I didn't know we were bringing up bachelor's degree. I have a bachelor's degree in business administration.
Swaggerific.
What?
Let's not ask questions. Sometimes words come out of my mouth, and sometimes they're...
Other things come out of his mouth.
Yep. Well, happy Saturday, Peanuts. And hey, guess what? Remember the MTV star / Vietnamese white supremacist / flat earth believer that we mentioned back in episode 9? Well, if you don't, go back and listen to our flat earth debate. But if you do, guess what? October 24th, 2020 is Tila Tequila's 39th birthday. So, yay.
She's only 39?
Yeah, she's a youngin', kind of. She's a middle-aged.
I feel like she was on MTV when I was, like, 13.
So that puts her at 26? She makes her my age when she was on MTV? Gross.
Wow. All right.
That feels weird to think about. But then again, there are, like, famous people who are 18, which is, now that I realize, 8 years younger than me now. So... That's
You're
a,
old.
I'm an old, old man.
Also, it's apparently become a regular thing for Molly to join us in the courtroom. So if you'd like to see the pupper laying on Austin's bed behind us and react to our empathetic arguments throughout each episode, check us out on YouTube by searching Court of Public Opinion Podcast. Today, she is wearing a Skeletor sweatshirt.
But she's too shy to show it off. She wanted to go bundle up on my pillows. And that's fine. That'll be in the bloopers. All right. We got some weekly updates.
Yeah. Story time.
Story time, everyone.
So we were out on a hike a couple weekends ago with Molly.
Yeah, it was a couple weekends ago.
And we met this cool couple.
They were very nice people.
We're also out on the trail with their dogs. And we ended up talking to them for quite a bit. And
yeah, like a solid 20 minutes. Just about whatever.
And yeah, they were cool and all. And Austin was like, hey, let's exchange numbers, which is your first problem. And
in my defense, she asked me. I'm just nice and awkward and didn't know how to be like, nah. But I'm also sociable and I was totally okay with it. So my defense falls flat.
Then they called us, like actually called us and wanted to set up a time to meet for brunch. On speakerphone.
I was like on the speakerphone talking to her because she called my phone and I like looked at Kristen like, are we doing this? Should we go for it?
I left the room. I was like, not my problem.
Then it was up to me. So I set a plan to have brunch with them on last Saturday when our previous episode came out. And yeah, that was going to happen.
But, no, it was not. Because
but as we thought about it and paused to reflect, I got a little bit more apprehensive as the moments passed, as the sands through the hourglass tipped but dropped through. Sure. And I was like, these people are in a cult. Do we think they're in a cult?
If they're not in a cult, they're in a like a pyramid scheme situation. Because they wanted to sit down and have coffee with like-minded people.
And the entire conversation we had had with them while hiking was that they, the guy used to be an engineer, but then they got to quit their jobs and start their own businesses. But they're like 4 years older than us tops, right?
Right. And they were like, don't you want to be able to do everything from home? And I was like, yo, I'm in law school. Like, what a waste of time and money for me to be like, you know what? Let me join you on your internet pyramid scheme.
Who cares that I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on law school, right?
What the fuck? Well, luckily...
Fortunately,
I've been having really bad jaw problems and my jaw keeps popping out, dislocating, doing fun things. I can't open my mouth without it hurting really bad. So like, props to me for showing up today.
Yay, but also, thank you.
There was no way I was going to be able to sit through a brunch with people trying to recruit me
recult
into,
you into a court. You know, go ahead.
Recruit me into a cult. So I was like, hey, cancel or I'll die.
And so we had the opportunity to bail on brunch. And yeah, we don't know anything about them other than that. They could be Scientologists. We don't know. So good thing Kristen's jaw hurt, even though I'm really sorry your jaw hurts.
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make for our own safety.
But now my problem is, if they call me again, what do I do?
Block the number.
Okay, I should just block it. Just don't pick up or...
We died. They don't know we exist anymore. We're gone.
I didn't tell them our socials.
Good.
I did tell them the name of the podcast. So if they end forgot. Up listening... Hi, guys.
My jaw is actually very much broken. It hurts very bad. I couldn't even eat an Oreo yesterday.
Oh, I felt so bad.
Did you? Because you still fed it to me.
That was like your breakfast. Oreos for breakfast, ladies and gentlemen.
I lead a healthy lifestyle with a balanced diet. don't at me.
Well, all of that happened and we're past it. Hopefully they don't call me back. And if they do, I will take your sound advice, Kristen. So I will just...
I just block everybody.
Sounds good. Canceled. Then... just this past Sunday, because it is spoopy season,
Woo! We
went to a pumpkin, or we tried to go to a pumpkin patch, because hello, it's almost the end of October, guys. And we had originally planned to go to a pumpkin patch in Irvine, California.
No, not really, but close enough.
Close enough. That was operating at limited capacity and required face masks and everything, so... They were doing all the things that they needed to do for COVID times, but after a little back and forth call with the people who work there, they said it was probably going to be pretty crowded, especially on a Sunday, so you guys should come on a weekday. Well, we didn't listen to that, obviously, and then he also suggested that we show up there in the morning, but we're busy. We got a busy schedule. We can't get there before 2 p.m. Well, when we arrived at 2 p.m. with a car full of our friends, turns out... they were turning people away at the gate because they were full. So instead...
super full. Like, we couldn't even make a U-turn full.
Yeah. Lots of cones.
Yeah.
Cops.
So,
random cop lady giving people tickets.
She was not a cop. She was parking enforcement.
Oh.
Big difference.
Rent-a-cop. Pseudo-cop.
Mall cop. Paul Blart.
Just as legitimate of a career. Giving parking tickets to people who were parked alongside the street to try to get into the Irvine whatever pumpkin patch.
Let him triangulate where we live, please.
They know we're in Orange County. Somewhere. It's a big county.
All right. So instead, because we were in a car full of people, and good thing I wasn't driving because the anxiety was so real, we took a little detour and went all the way out to Chino. No, it was Ontario. We were out in Ontario. to this little family farm that was selling pumpkins on the side of the road. And you know what? It probably would have been really cool if it wasn't COVID, because they had a whole field where the pumpkins were growing. And they usually do like a you-pick thing where you can like pick your own pumpkins off the vine. But because of COVID, they had already chopped them off the vine and they were ready for us. So we picked out a shit ton of pumpkins.
Convenient and cute.
At a little family farm called the...
Venegas Family Farms.
Yes, white boy, Venegas.
Venegas?
Venegas. And then, because they didn't have pumpkin pie, we decided to go to Stayer Brothers and buy 3 full pumpkin pies for literally 5 of us. It was awesome. And then a little tub of dairy-free ice cream and some sandwiches and some dairy-free whipped cream. And we went to a little park and we just had a little picnic. It was the perfect basic bitch fall day, and I loved every minute of it.
It was scrum diddly umptious, guys. 10 out of 10. Would recommend. Buy yourself a little pumpkin pie from Stater Bros and just
except not frozen yourself. Because we had such a hard time cutting it because it was definitely frozen.
Yeah, if you do get it frozen, don't buy the $1 assorted plasticware set, because those knives are floppy, flimsy pieces of plastic trash that do not do well in cutting frozen pies.
I've decided that we're going to get another pumpkin pie, but it's going to be the Costco one, which is huge. Yes.
Costco pumpkin pies are the go-to pumpkin pie of the spoopy season. Obviously.
Can confirm.
Wouldn't change a thing. 3 out of 5 stars. Well, is that all of our weekly debates?
Debates?
I mean, weekly updates. Debates, updates. It's the same deal.
Tomorrow? We're going to go to a drive-through maze scary scare everybody situation, and we'll let you know how that goes.
Oh, heck yeah. Tomorrow meaning
Tuesday.
The day we're recording this.
And I will be taking my ethics exam on Friday, and if I don't pass, I can't be a lawyer, so our entire lives are riding on this.
I believe in you. You've got this. You've been studying so hard. You've done 2.25 years of law school to prove it, and I think you're gonna do great. I know this is so encouraging.
No, say it like you mean it. Just kidding.
You're going to be fantastic, and you can't tell anybody. Don't let anybody tell you different. You know,
man, you butchered that,
dude. I got that performance anxiety. I guess talking into a microphone, I can't be as supportive as I'm trying to be.
Well, that was sad.
But you know how I truly feel. I think you got this. I believe it like I believe in Santa Claus.
Well, that was fucked up.
Yeah, I know. I was being a dick. No, I believe it like I believe I have a right hand. Which is like a very strong belief because it's absolutely true. See? It's right there. See, everyone? Right hand. For those of you watching on YouTube. Anyway.
Oh, God.
I believe in you is the point I'm trying to make. You're 100%. You're not, you know, moving on. Is that all of our weekly updates, Kristen?
I sincerely hope so.
So I can stop rambling.
Do we have any court of appeals this week?
We most certainly do, Kristen. Thank you for that. Our court of appeals this week, which are messages from you, the listeners. We got an email from listener Jack Sapphire, or Sapphire, however you
Damn,
pronounce it, sir.
That is a cool name.
Oh, yeah. Jack
All right.
Sapphire. I think it sounds like a porn star name. And
no, you can't
I'm
say that.
Here for, why not?
Knock it off.
Well, Jack, if you are in the adult
can
film
you please,
industry...
Can you please
just read what he said? Okay. Well, Jack Sapphire said, "Hey, Austin and Kristen, I'm submitting 2 potential debate topics. What is better, Apple or Android? Or what is better, PlayStation or Xbox?"
That says and.
Whatever.
He's submitting 2.
He's submitting 2.
And he said and because there's 2.
Forgive me for misquoting you, Jack Sapphire.
I don't forgive you.
But you get the point. And I just wanted to see, what were your initial opinions on the Apple or Android and then PlayStation or Xbox
as in
debates?
Which, like, do I pick?
Do you have any initial reactions to them?
Fuck Xbox.
Oh! Word, bird.
Just kidding. Or am I? Who knows? We'll get into it.
And then neither of us use an Android phone, so I'll probably be taking the losing side on that.
What if we change that from Apple or Android to Mac or PC? Because then we have a real debate.
I don't see between why we can't you and do me. Both.
Because I don't have an Android. I don't know how they work.
Well, one of us will just have to do a bunch of research on Android. And
I
tend to take the losing side of these arguments, so I might Android as well volunteer
now.
Android
is not necessarily the losing side. It's just the less popular side.
And the side that I'm going to have a harder time researching.
Why?
Because
there
I don't...
There are plenty of articles about it. I am just lazy, and why do you always talk over?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What did Megan say?
Oh, and our next appeal comes from our good friend, the Megan Howell, via the Cult of the Curious Facebook page, Hail Nimrod, where she tagged me in the comments under a post with a photo depicting what is basically... So, this photo is basically a baguette sliced the direction you would normally cut a salami or a cucumber, with some salami and cheese placed in between the two halves, captioned, "Is this a sandwich? Discuss, please." And so Megan tagged me on that, and my response is, that is an absolute atrocity, but yes, it technically is a sandwich, because it is two pieces of bread on either side of a filling, i.e. cube rule of food.
I will strangle you. Two thoughts. One, Megan, what the fuck? I'm here too. Insulting.
Yeah, you gotta tag both of us if you're gonna tag either of us, Megan.
This is insulting. The second thought is, fuck your cube rule of food. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you, Jack, and I guess Megan, even though you didn't hit me up, but for hitting us up. If any of you other peanuts would like to add your input to past debates or suggest future ones, please send us an email to coppod@gmail.com. That is coppod@gmail.com. Seriously, we love engaging with you guys on these topics, and I love to give Austin shit for his wrong opinions after the fact when you guys confirm what I think.
So keep it us. Keep it up.
Keep it us.
Keep it up. Send us emails. We love to hear from you. And the influx of listeners from last week, you guys are doing what you need to do to engage with us. So thank you once again. And thank you for all of those reminders, Kristen. All right. Now, are you ready to boost our energies for the upcoming debate?
For those of you who are just joining us, here in the Court of Public Opinion, every episode we have to put ourselves in the proper headspace for an impassioned debate. Bolstering the energies within our environment enables us to calmly and logically discuss the pros and cons of our respective sides of the argument. And to do so, we light a candle that has been imbued?
Yes, imbued.
Why use a word that nobody wants? Such an ugly word. That has been imbued with the healing energy of certain minerals in certain Wiccan and pagan practices. Daily candle burning is essential for setting an intention for the day. Our intention every week is to bring you an entertaining and educational look at multiple sides of controversial debate topics. Then, adding crystals provides a supplemental focus to the energies that emanate from our candles, like jasper for balance and connection, or citrine for success and motivation. This week, we are bringing it back to one of the first crystals we got for the show, and one we haven't burned in a while, our blue chalcedony calming candle from Jax Kelly, the candle that smells like candy store and the stone that looks like the dragon scale from Dragon Tales.
Hell yeah. And do you want to light it up while I tell the tale of the dragon scale?
Better than you with fire, but also I don't know how to work this thing.
Well, while you're trying to figure that out, according to according to www.crystalvaults.com, blue chalcedony is a demure crystal, subtle and mystic, cool and serene, ethereal yet solid. It has an inviting, soft blue translucence, and is almost imperceptible, and an almost imperceptible movement within the stone that invokes a stillness of silent reverence. It's calming and speaks of spirit and trust. Chalcedony is known as the speaker's stone, the stone of one who must measure their words. It encourages reflection and meditation, its gentle radiance preparing us for action but helping to hold back words that we might regret.
Nope.
And to legally cover our asses for any words said on this podcast that we might regret, hit me with that disclaimer, Kristen.
I regret nothing, but... Just in case, this is an intentionally argumentative podcast. We choose to take opposing sides for an argument for the sake of entertainment, whether or not our personal values align with it. The Court of Public Opinion podcast and its hosts do not necessarily endorse the views expressed in this program. Please do not pass judgment on our individual character based on our arguments. We're just here to have a good time yelling at each other over silly debate topics. Now that that's out of the way, what are we arguing today, Austin?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, peanuts of all ages, and Kristen.
All ages? We'll get to it.
We are marked explicit because we say the fuck word. But anyway, most seasonal films are pretty easy to categorize. Horror films are obviously made for Halloween, and even films like Casper and Hocus Pocus have a pretty obvious spooky theme, albeit with less terrifying murders, because, you know, Halloween is for families too. Equally, there's not much debate around whether Elf, Muppet Christmas Carol, or Home Alone are festive or not. But one film has always left us confused. The Nightmare Before Christmas. Is it a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie? And before we get into debating, let's review some history and hear some fun facts about the film.
Sure.
Yeet. Want to alternate?
No.
All right, you go for it.
Just kidding. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas was released in the United States on October 13th, 1993. Happy belated 27th birthday. Also, October 13th is my sister's wedding anniversary, so happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary, Anna. And thanks for being on our show earlier. Another fun fact, Tim Burton is in fact not the director of Nightmare Before Christmas, as many people seem to think. He is actually the producer, and it was directed by Henry Selick, who is not at all related to Tom Selick.
The better Selick. Just kidding. Don't kill me for that one.
He does have a nicer mustache.
Every minute of the film took a week to shoot, leading to an overall production time of 3 years. That's how long it takes to get through law school.
Dang.
It takes approximately, let's see, 1 week to read one page of one case. I'm just kidding. That's not true.
Break it down for us. Jack Skellington had over 400 separate heads for his different expressions, while the model for Sally had a series of masks to change her facial expressions because of her hair.
Interesting.
Neat.
There is a Nightmare Before Christmas video game called The Nightmare Before Christmas, Oogie's Revenge, that debuted in Japan on PlayStation 2 on October 21st, 2004, and didn't release in North America until October 10th of the following year, both on both PlayStation and Xbox.
Womp womp.
Boo, Xbox.
And finally, Mickey and Donald have a cameo in the Nightmare Before Christmas movie during the Christmas Eve scene, in which Jack delivers the coat-tailed scary teddy and the bullet hole duck, you know the one. The children who find those toys are wearing Mickey and Donald pajamas. Plus, the teddy toy itself is loosely based on Mickey Mouse.
But a scary version.
Yeah. A spoopy version.
Spoopy.
It's a spoopy season.
Spoopy.
Peace, spoopy. All right, are you ready to argue? Are you ready to get frustrated at me? Are you ready to blow out our microphones? Are you ready to possibly strangle me? On air?
At all times.
You're always ready for that. So is that a yes?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. All right. Cool. Would you like to go first or should I? Really hash it out. What will benefit you the most?
I mean, I'll kill you no matter what with this argument.
All right. Okay.
I don't need an advantage either way, but I do use my entire argument to just make fun of your argument. So.
All right, I'll take it away then. Timer. All right, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Good day, your honors, and may it please the court. Austin Andrade, on behalf of Nightmare Before Christmas, is clearly a Halloween movie.
Man, you're already annoying me.
I'd like to reserve 76 minutes to watch this amazing film because it's spoopy season after all, and that is the perfect time to watch it.
Perfect.
Literally, all you have to do is Google search classic Halloween movies, and you'll immediately see Nightmare Before Christmas alongside films like Beetlejuice, Corpse Bride, Sleepy Hollow, Coraline, and Edward Scissorhands,
you know,
all of which are
funny?
Also films produced or directed by Tim Burton.
Edward Scissorhands is on literally every list of best Christmas movies.
Just because it has a Christmas setting, but it's also literally on every list of Halloween movies.
Okay, but that over Mean Girls? I mean, come on, world.
Nah.
Y'all crazy. Edward Scissorhands, y'all crazy.
And
you can
so
continue.
The world knows I don't know Mean Girls that well. And anytime
you're
somebody makes a Mean Girls reference,
you're
I'm
gonna
like,
get canceled.
Oh, Snapples. Don't cancel me just because I haven't watched a movie.
Cancel
I know on
it.
Wednesdays we wear pink, and fortunately it's
but
Saturday,
he doesn't
so
know what October
orange.
3rd is.
Anyway, Nightmare Before Christmas is, as we know, was released on October 13th, 1993, just in time for Halloween of that year. It was clearly intended to be watched as a Halloween film.
Here he goes again with the intention, but
clearly.
We all know that it doesn't control.
And then, 26 years after its initial release, on October 2019, Danny Elfman, the lead composer of the music of the Nightmare Before Christmas film, and the singing voice of Jack Skellington himself, was asked in an interview by USA Today, so let's just clear up the debate online. Is Nightmare a Halloween or Christmas movie? And his answer was, it's obviously about Christmas, but for me, it's a Halloween movie. Growing up, Halloween was my favorite night of the year, and Christmas was a troublesome time.
Let me stop you right there, buddy. You're going to waste all your time reading this quote.
All right, fine. He thinks it's a Halloween movie.
He thinks it's a Christmas movie.
He says, but it's a Halloween movie for him. So, and then also the film's director, Henry Selick, not Tom, also ended is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie in a Q&A during the 2015 Telluride horror show. Telluride horror show, saying, quote, it's a Halloween movie. Sure, a lot of people liked the Christmas Town stuff way better than the Halloween Town. They love Santa and say he's all powerful, but this is a movie about Halloween, the people of Halloween, and how they would react to something like Christmas. And he didn't just give that answer to anybody. That question came from a little girl in the audience, somebody with no agenda, just an honest curiosity and the means to get a definitive answer from the person who has the most authority to give that answer.
Oh, here we go again. Can't wait to prove that fucking wrong.
Also,
let's go, motherfucker.
Also, let's consider the fact that Tim Burton has basically made a living making Halloween movies.
This is a dumb argument.
Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice, Sleepy Hollow, Corpse Bride, Sweeney Todd, Frankenweenie, Coraline, and not a single one of Tim Burton's movies can be even remotely construed as a Christmas movie, save Edward Scissorhands.
So what he's saying is that if you've made a career in one thing, you can't go and make a successful movie in another thing?
I'm sure
Would you like to tell that to Jonah Hill, who made the switch from comedy to serious roles and actually won an Oscar for it?
Hey, props to you, Jonah Hill, but...
That's a dumb argument.
But Tim Burton does what he does, and he loves what he does, and that's...
Did those words come from his mouth? No, you made that assumption yourself.
Well, I make assumptions a lot on this show, and I make an ass out of mostly me, which is fine.
100%.
Anyway, when it comes to the people who made the movie, there's only one answer. This is a Halloween movie for people who realize that Halloween isn't just one day out of the year, but... I know, given in past arguments, that apparently intent or the creator's vision is not strong enough of an argument to convince anybody of anything, so let's take a look at some other key factors from this film. The hefty majority of the characters in this film are monsters. Everything from an evil scientist, an anthropomorphized burlap sack full of snakes and bugs, a psycho clown, the actual devil, and whatever the fuck that thing with the accordion mouth is, they're all horrifying creatures. These are not the types of characters that you see in a classic Christmas
movie. Just
because
something isn't classic doesn't mean it's not a Christmas movie.
It disagrees with all of the regular customs of a Christmas
movie.
So
what? Since when does everything have to fit in a box?
There's some way to categorize these films, I'm assuming.
It's about Christmas. They literally said that in the interview. It's about Christmas. It's a Christmas movie.
They also said it's a Halloween movie. But, okay, Peanuts, ask yourselves, is this a movie you would watch to fill yourself with Christmas spirit?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Not at all.
Oh, my God.
It has disturbing imagery throughout, which
Perfect.
May be too scary for some children. It is certainly not the kind
Wimpy
of movie
children.
Appropriate in all family settings.
False.
And definitely not during Christmas time.
Also false. Especially if you're colorblind and can't see Christmas colors. This is the shit you look for.
Oh, okay. Then how about this argument? Well, how can it be how can it be a Halloween movie if it isn't actually Halloween during the movie? Think about this. A movie doesn't have to be set during Halloween to constitute it being a Halloween movie, excluding horror films, which are always in the running to be watched during Halloween time. Let's look at some other classic Halloween films that don't occur during or make any reference to Halloween in the film. You got Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, The Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, Ghostbusters, Rocky Horror, Sweeney Todd, Corpse Bride, Beetlejuice happens over the course of several years, and the Addams Family doesn't even reference Halloween. They're just a bunch of creepy people.
Why did you stop naming actors after The Haunted Mansion?
Because I wanted to get through my list.
You couldn't come
up
with anybody in Ghostbusters or Rocky Horror?
I was worried I was
Todd
running out of time.
At Johnny Depp. I forgot about you.
I would never forget about you, Johnny Depp, and the alleged whatever that we didn't talk about. Anyway.
Can't talk about it.
Similarly, not every movie that has a Christmas setting is a Christmas movie. Like Edward Scissorhands occurs during Christmas time, which is expressly a Halloween movie.
Is it, though?
Which,
no.
You know, according to some lists, I guess not. So we'll just move past that.
I'm glad you said
that. But some people
that.
Even argue that Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone is a Christmas movie because of one scene.
Yo, they always play it in like Christmas marathons
Yo,
on ABC Family.
That
so.
Movie occurs over the course of an entire academic year.
Okay, and?
But, you know, okay, it's another can of worms that I'm not going to try to open
then
anymore than I already have.
Bring it up?
Because it worked for the point that I was trying
Did
to
it,
make.
Did it, though?
But then, take a look at the songs in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Wait.
Okay, you only hear songs from Nightmare Before Christmas being played during Halloween time. None of the songs
during
in this movie are
Halloween
played
time.
During Christmas. Not even the songs false. That are about Christmas.
Also false. Can't wait to bring
like,
it up later.
What's this? And the town meeting song and Making Christmas? Making Christmas is in fact horrifying
so
because
what?
It's all of the monsters creating disturbed versions of toys.
There are a lot of Christmas songs that are horrifying. I forgot to start this thing, so just it's fine. Just go.
Oh, okay. Now, even though the discovery of Christmas is a major plot device for this
Wait,
film,
I didn't get to list the Christmas songs that are horrifying.
Oh, okay.
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Fair.
I need to say more. That's enough.
In what Christmas movie is that?
Elf.
Oh, okay.
He's Good enough. Literally an elf. And he literally sneaks up on her in the shower. It's so disturbing.
Well, Elf is obviously a Christmas movie. So, Christmas song. The point you were trying to make is that there are
disturbing Christmas songs.
I got you. Okay. Well, even though the discovery of Christmas is the major plot device
the
of the film.
Major.
Yes. Nightmare Before Christmas's true essence lies in Jack's identity crisis and how he comes to reclaim his motivation to be the very best at his job of scaring people and being the literal king of Halloween.
So instead of a Halloween movie, it's a coming of age movie now?
Yeah.
No. What?
It's a coming of age film and a Halloween
no,
film.
That's not what you just said.
Whatever, man. You can even look outside the realm of film for evidence that Nightmare Before Christmas is a Halloween movie. For example, Take a look at the Disney parks.
Oh, let's do it. Let's fucking do it.
Nightmare Before Christmas is far more heavily celebrated at the Disney parks.
So
during
untrue.
Halloween. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
For okay, sure, Haunted Mansion Holiday, the ride at Disneyland, usually stays up from October through the new year. But Nightmare Before Christmas characters and entertainment, like Jack, Sally, and Oogie's appearances in the Frightfully Fun Parade at Disneyland, or Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade at the Magic Kingdom, they only occur between October into the first week of November. Not to mention the entirety of California Adventure closing to the public early on select days for the Oogie Boogie Bash, an event held during Halloween time only in previous years because of COVID. Now, let's take a look at the internet. You want to talk lists?
You're being obnoxious. Take it down like 30 notches.
Okay, dialing it down. Let's look at some lists. Nightmare Before Christmas ranked number one on a Rotten Tomatoes 2018 editorial post list of top 36 essential kids
Look
Halloween
at him
movies.
Contradict himself saying that children should not watch this movie because it's too scary. And then he's like, it's on the list of children's movies. That was dumb.
They're Halloween movies,
dumb.
Though. I didn't
dumb,
make the list.
Dumb.
It ranked number 12 on GoodHousekeeping.com's 37 classic
this
Halloween
so
movies to watch for
interesting.
Spooky Night In.
Interesting. I can't wait to show you why it's interesting later. Continue.
Oh, okay. Number 21 on Town & Country Magazine's 29 classic Halloween movies to watch for a scary evening in, which are very similar lists in their titles. And then it was unranked on best Halloween movie lists from Esquire, The Cut, and Collider.com.
Never heard of any of those.
You've never heard of Esquire?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a biggin. Anyway.
Is it? For who?
Honestly, it really just comes down to how many people express interest in the movie during October versus during December. And according to Google Trends, between 2004 to present, searches for Nightmare Before Christmas peak literally every year in the month of October. And then by December, searches for Nightmare Before Christmas drop over 50%.
Remember when you took a poll yesterday of is it a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? Do you remember the percentage?
I think you're deflecting.
Am I?
What does that have to
that
do
has,
with my
You
Google
just said,
Trends
let's bring
point?
It to the internet.
Oh.
And point. He clicked Halloween like a moron. And it was what? 56 to 44?
No, it was 52 to 48. It's on the margin.
You were still
okay.
Under 50%. Okay. So you're in the losing less than half.
Well, as hard as it is to try to find statistics on when the actual peak viewership of this movie occurs, I wasn't able to find that statistic. It still matters. It's still relevant.
It matters,
when
but he has no
it's
facts.
Being searched.
No.
That's indicative of when people are watching it because they're searching it on the internet.
You have no facts to back that up, which you just said. You keep doing this to yourself, by the way, where you're like, this proves my point when it clearly doesn't because you clearly just admitted that you have no evidence.
So in an argument, you just need to leave out the parts that might make you wrong and then
no,
just barrel
you can't
on through.
Jump like 30 steps in a logical conclusion.
At what point is the argument, like, within reasonable expectations of how humans would, reach a logical point in an argument?
When there's enough evidence and information to back it up. You don't have any.
You don't think I've provided enough evidence in this case, counselor?
Absolutely not.
Fine. Well, what I thought with respect to this particular argument was that in the age where streaming is the most frequently used medium to consume films and entertainment,
you need to stop.
Search popularity is indicative of how many people are watching the movie at a given time. So if it's peaking in searches during October, then it is mostly watched in October, making it a Halloween film.
Nope.
So in conclusion, my arguments are, the people who wrote it / were cast in it / basically created the film say it's a Halloween movie. It doesn't adhere to any Christmas movie guidelines, and more people seem to watch it during Halloween. That's about it.
Based on no evidence whatsoever.
Based on Google Trends. And
with no
a leap in logic.
To back it up.
Well, there's mine.
I can't. wait. Cannot wait to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a timer because you didn't get one.
No. Pooper.
What is your obsession with the timer?
It's a part of the show.
Not when I forget to start it.
The listeners,
really just benefited myself.
The listeners, well, I think we both should have it. So it's fair, you know?
You didn't get it, so I don't get it.
Fine. We'll do it next time, though.
When have we ever stuck to the timer?
Maybe once or twice. We definitely stayed under 10 minutes during the water debate, but that was because our arguments were very short for is water wet.
Yeah, and they also were not good. So, I can admit when my arguments are shitty, today is not one of those days.
Okay.
Let's buckle
up. Well, bring it on then, Kristen. Your turn.
I don't need you to tell me it's my turn. I know it's my turn. Good day, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Kristen Bradley, on behalf of The Nightmare Before Christmas, is in fact a Christmas movie. Let's start with the obvious. Christmas is in the title. It doesn't take too much mental gymnastics to arrive at the understanding that a movie with Christmas in the title is about Christmas or to be watched at Christmas. Does it? No. If it does... Austin, you may be in way more trouble than we initially thought with this up here. All right, so let's get into the substance of the film. Austin's main argument centers around the characters being Halloween characters slash some of the film taking place in Halloween Town. But
the majority of the film.
But what is the point of the film, Austin? It's about Christmas, which your quote already said. It's also set in Christmas Town for some of it. It is also about the run up to Christmas, and the true meaning of Christmas is the theme central to the movie plot. This theme is more Christmas festive than frightening slash Halloweeny generally. The movie has a lot more in common with How the Grinch Stole Christmas than it does to a Halloween classic like Halloween or Hocus Pocus. Why do you look like you have no brain inside your head? Moreover, Austin's argument is flawed in general. It takes place in Halloween Town and is centered on Halloween characters. But Halloween is only afforded maybe 5 minutes of the movie, the duration of This is Halloween. The rest of the movie takes place between November 1st and December 25th. Our country has decided that Christmas starts literally the day after Halloween. I don't make the rules here. This is the court of public opinion, though, and for some reason, the public insists on skipping Thanksgiving. And Target apparently wants to skip Thanksgiving, too. See, Christmas decorations already going up in the store.
Christmas is trying to skip Halloween.
Christmas is trying to skip Halloween.
Target is trying to skip Halloween and go straight to Christmas.
They're trying very hard.
Ugh, you know what? Words are so tough for me, guys. And I'm just trying my best. So it's amazing that I even got that argument out. I think we should all just take a moment to appreciate that. And the fact that we're making a podcast where I have to talk into a microphone and try to form cohesive sentences on a regular basis. Thank you for your golf clap. I really appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Makes me feel better
and
about
now back to destroying your argument. Austin would also like to argue that the creator's opinion controls. However, as with my very sound arguments in the GIF debate, the argument is untenable.
And the hot dog debate.
That too. But less important than the GIF debate because that actually matters. As I explained last week, the mind of the public controls. The movie undoubtedly makes an audience think, yay, Christmas, more than it makes the audience think, yay, Halloween. The movie gets you into the Halloween spirit, sure, for literally the 5 minutes of the movie where the characters repeat, this is Halloween.
When did we watch the film?
We watched it because we had to do this argument. Guarantee you would not have watched it if you didn't make me watch it because we had to do this argument.
Really?
Not till Christmas, but that's where it stops. And then from then on, it's all about Christmas. Literally, Jack himself decided to pursue Christmas because he was tired of Halloween. The movie literally appropriates. Hello, Molly.
Hello, baby.
Where? Well, what were you saying, Kristen?
The movie literally appropriates Christmas imagery, and Jack tries to impersonate Santa Claus through a solid 90% of the movie. Another one of my favorite things that Austin likes to do is misappropriate creator quotes. Emphasis on it's clearly about Christmas, but also emphasis on Elfman clearly writing about how Jack wanted out of his world in Halloween Town and tried to appropriate another holiday in doing so. More fun fallacies from Austin's argument. Shut your goddamn mouth! Quote, you only hear Nightmare Before Christmas songs before during Halloween. Logical fallacy. This is the point on which your argument shall die. I know from personal experience that it is painfully untrue. When you work as a choreographer at a dance studio, you come to find out that music for holiday shows is severely limited. So, I know that music from Nightmare Before Christmas is heavily used in holiday dance recitals, you dumb shit. I even used, what's this, for a Christmas show and the amazing little dancers dressed up as Jack in a Santa suit, emphasis on Santa suit, to portray the Christmas element of it. You're wrong.
How is Christmas music limited for a dance recital?
I'm sorry. Would you can you shut up for 1 second?
Yeah.
Would you like to try to choreograph a dance to Jingle Bells? It's a 2 second song.
Okay. I would not like to do that. I'm not qualified.
So why make a comment on it if you're not qualified? No answer.
Doing
I also I know what songs are played during Halloween in a dance studio. The list is almost exclusively The Monster Mash and Thriller. Not entirely relevant, but a fun fact, Nightmare Before Christmas basically only comes up at Christmas or every day if you're taking classes from my sister. She's obsessed.
I believe it. I can see it in her person. Anna, it's no secret. Not that you keep it a secret.
Austin wanted to bring up lists.
I do like a good list.
He wanted to bring up rankings. And you want to know what's hilarious about that?
What?
You gave the numbers on where Nightmare Before Christmas was ranked on Halloween lists.
Yeah.
Almost every single one of the ones on my list is higher for Nightmare Before Christmas being a Christmas movie.
A higher number lower on the list? Yeah, I know.
No, you idiot. Oh, look, maybe I have heard of Esquire. I don't know what it is.
Yet you used it as a reference.
Yeah, because they put best Christmas movies of all time and they actually ranked it. And Nightmare Before Christmas is number 11. Good Housekeeping, best movie best Christmas movies, number 33. Thrillist, best Christmas movies of all time, number 9. CountryLiving.com. Christmas movies. Not a ranked list, but it says you should binge all 71 of the Christmas movies on the list, so good fucking luck.
So we both have ranked and unranked.
Just one. This is all the top... All, can you not? This is all, when you search best Christmas movies, everything I'm listing is just on the first page of the Google. I could have gone more, but I decided not to. Vulture.com, best Christmas movies, number 22. Today.com, 75 Christmas movies all time, 2019 holidays ranked, number 11. Ew.com, I don't know what Ew is.
Entertainment Weekly.
EW.com, 20 top Christmas movies ever, number 8. And Rotten Tomatoes ranked it as number 1. So... my point in directing you to all of these editorials is to show you that on every single one of the lists that came up on my Google search, yes, too many to even put here, Nightmare Before Christmas was classified as a Christmas movie. Booyah! This furthers the idea that the conception of the public prevails in situations of brand/work of art.
The public is divided.
No. Donald?
It's 52-48. Best.
At worst. Also, you want to bring up Disneyland. Let's bring it up. Mm-hmm. Quick Google search of Disneyland Christmas attractions. Top hit. Haunted Mansion Holiday, aka Nightmare Before Christmas, overtaking the Haunted Mansion. Austin's argument.
It starts on Halloween.
And... it goes through Christmas and New Year's. Your argument is just as flat as if I had tried to use the timing of the ride for my own argument, which I won't do because I'm not dumb. Instead, I'll use the substance of the ride in my argument. How does it start again, Austin?
'Twas the nightmare before Christmas.
Ah! The nightmare before Christmas! Huh?
It's the title.
What are the decorations like, Austin?
They're Christmas.
Motherfucking Christmas. There are presents, stockings, Christmas lights. Throw back to that one time that they had my name on a present. Good times. Don't know where the picture is. It's called Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Halloween's a holiday.
My opponent would like to classify the word holiday through the dictionary meaning. However, that's not how shit works in the good old US of A. Here the phrase the holidays it's distinctly like refers to a time of year encompassing Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, etc. Halloween is not on that list. And yes, I did know. Therefore, the name of the attraction
immediately after it crossed my mind. Oh, that's amazing. Your foresight is impressive, ma'am.
The name of the attraction, just like the name of the movie, directly correlates to its portrayal as a holiday, read Christmas, attraction, thus framing the movie as a holiday, read Christmas, movie. I also have plenty of Nightmare Before Christmas merch from Disneyland that is distinctly Christmas related. My Jack in a Santa suit, my blanket with Jack in a Santa suit, my little Zero stuffy with a candy cane, and some I don't care if you call it a holiday or Christmas attraction. All that matters is that it's not a Halloween attraction.
Then how can you explain it starting in October? And that's the attraction.
We'll get to it when. Can you shut up for one? Can you shut up for 1 second? I know that's really hard for you as a cis white male, but.
The slander.
That's not slander. That is literally the what truth. You are. I will address your question when we get to expert opinions.
Okay. All right.
Reed, it has a lot to do with money. I'd like to end this argument by emphasizing yet again that the only opinion that controls, especially in this courtroom, is the public's opinion. My opponent would like to characterize it as definitive that the creators seem to classify this as a Halloween movie, something that is clearly still in dispute because my opponent likes to mischaracterize quotes sometimes. This is clearly not the case, as demonstrated in numerous earlier arguments. I have clearly demonstrated, at least to a higher degree than my opponent, that the public clearly sees this as a Christmas movie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wasn't thinking you. I was thinking them.
Bravo. Bravo. I love this. This one's fun. I'm sure the listeners can tell when there are certain arguments that we're like, about. And this is one of them that I'm just all in for, because I love this movie. And
then you're gonna love my expert opinion section, because let me tell you,
you told me it was gonna be good.
It's gonna be awesome. You guys are all gonna love it.
But before we get to that, let's take a quick break for an advertisement. And we're back. Thank you guys for listening through the advertisement, and thanks to Anchor FM for distributing our podcast. Now let's get on into expert opinions.
We
are gonna do some expert opinions.
She got closer. She liked that one.
Expert opinions. Yeah. We're gonna listen to what other people have to say about this thing.
Good girl. You loved it.
All right. I got Molly approval.
All right. Would you like me to go first?
Absolutely.
I have a lot.
I would love you to go first. Guys, get ready. This is going to be about 16 hours of us reading Nightmare Before Christmas reviews. So, buckle up.
My first one's not a review, but I went to the YouTube and Fresh Baked, with an exclamation point, has a video on their YouTube.
Yeah, I've
never heard of Fresh Baked, but they have a pretty big following. So, Their video is called, Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween Movie? Or a Christmas movie? And the video creators decided to ask people outside of the Haunted Mansion if Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas or Halloween movie. And I watched the video, but none of that was interesting. So I went to the YouTube comments.
Which is always going to be interesting, no matter what video you watch.
And yes, so I have some comments for you guys. This first one is from @MarkSomerville. And they say, let's just meet in the middle and say it's a Thanksgiving movie. Obviously, Mark is not from the US of A, where we just skip Thanksgiving, period.
Nope.
Period.
Period.
This next one comes from @WrongWay, and they say, neither. It's a holiday season movie. More to be made of if it can be spained out. Let me try that again. And they say, neither. It's a holiday season movie. More to be made if it can be spained out over the Halloween and Christmas. Yeah. Corporate talons have found another way of draining us of cash for a longer period.
That's so...
spained.
Pessimistic.
Spained.
And misspelled. I mean...
100% true, but spained.
But it's also a great combo. It's a wholesome combination of the two holidays, and just because...
Don't listen to anything this man says. He used to work at Disneyland.
Just because they made a bunch of money off of it after the fact doesn't mean that they knew that it was going to go that way. So, like, the original intention of creating the film was not a cash grab. It was to create a cool little story that many of us...
Don't listen to anything this man says. He used to work at Disneyland.
I don't endorse Disney. I just watch a lot of their films and still go to their parks and spend a lot of money on all their shit, so... maybe I endorse Disney.
Biased.
I don't represent Disney.
No.
Anymore.
Here's a comment that I vehemently disagree with and want to put someone on blast for.
Okay.
At Dark Hero says,
Dark Hero.
Haunted Mansion has so much potential instead of having the nightmare theme in this time of year.
How dare you, Dark Hero?
You're fucking wrong.
Do you know how much work went into the creation of that overlay?
That's not what they're talking about.
What?
They mean they could do something else with it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But the Garner Holt Company made all these fantastic animatronics for it, particularly for Nightmare Before Christmas, and... how dare they suggest that they put something else there during the Christmas or Halloween season? Is that what he's suggesting? That ain't never gonna happen.
I think he's just suggesting that they could have done something other than Nightmare. Like, your people could have still made the stuff.
They're not my people anymore. But I disagree. It's perfect the way it is.
But he had to make it about him before he'd disagree.
I am a very prideful individual.
And lastly, we have a comment that will allow me to sing obnoxiously to you all.
Oh boy.
At Kellyanne says, it's a Halloween movie for sure, but I watch it all year round, so I don't care, haha. NBC is my fave movie. Whenever I'm blue, I put it on and sing my heart out. Dot, dot, dot. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. 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 Thank you, Kellyanne.
Kellyanne's a super fan, and we appreciate that.
Super
fan!
Okay.
Kelly and the super fan. All right. I've got some reviews that are not YouTube comments. My reviews come from theamazon.com, where we have Kevin Reno giving a review, 1 out of 5 stars. Does tons of hard work and great art justify a pathetic movie? Reviewed in the United States, so this guy's a fellow American.
No.
He put this review on October 31st of last year. Verified purchase. I've tried to like this movie. I've watched it 3 times, trying as hard as I could to see why people enjoy it. Aside from the scene where Jack discovers Christmastown and is entranced with new things that he hasn't experienced before, there is no redeeming quality of this movie. The story is slow-paced and pointless. The film has style, and it has in abundance. However, that style is meant for emo kids and horror fans, but without any actual horror. Unless you're 5, in which case you shouldn't watch this anyway. Danny Elfman is a genius, as always, but his music is buried by obvious, senseless, and unwitty lyrics and dialogue. The stop motion and art is incredible, and required vast amount of work and dedication. However, does hard work really always mean quality product? No, it doesn't. If you want Tim Burton Halloween, go watch Corpse Bride. If you want Christmas, go watch literally any other Christmas movie. Kevin, you're a piece of garbage. Because
he's entitled to his opinion, even if it is wrong.
He's definitely entitled.
Look, we can't just call people garbage for not liking something.
Well, I'm bitter about you, Kevin.
We can vehemently disagree with him and say that his opinion is garbage.
Yes. Kevin, your opinion is garbage.
It's one of Austin's really smelly farts. Gotta be honest with you. It smells like shit.
Got a little heated reading Kevin Reno's review.
But you can read.
I can read another
review. A response to his review.
So yeah, there were some responses to Kevin Reno's review. I wasn't the only one who was upset by it. It upset a few other people. People like an anonymous Amazon customer who replied 11 months ago, "You're pathetic. You're equivalent to one bug inside of Oogie Boogie's burlap sack." Good on you, anonymous customer. You really stuck it to him. It was like a sick burn, but like a nerd burn. A nerd burn from somebody who really likes this film, which I appreciate. So, thumbs again, up, Amazon customer.
I encourage you not to go after the person, but go after their opinion.
Okay. And another response from Jason Thompson, who replied just 2 months ago, replying to the anonymous Amazon customer. They said, yes.
Nice, Jason. Well done. You really
drove it home.
Yep.
Drove it home, Jason, with yes. Your one word response. A+. And now we have another Amazon review coming in from Marietta J. Chackey. 3 out of 5 stars. I love his live actor film such as Beetlejuice, reviewed in the United States on November 15th, 2016. They say.
Marietta. All right.
Although my kids live this movie, I find it too macabre. Tim Burton is a genius, but his animated films are disturbing. I love his live actor films such as Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, and Sweeney Todd, but the cartoon features bother me. This is a great Halloween film. Would never include it for Christmas.
That is the second time I've seen the word macabre referring to this movie.
It is macabre. I figured that's a good adjective for a lot of Tim Burton's animated films because the stop motion is just like disturbing and weird, and macabre just fits the bill, you know?
It's just not a word that you think a mom would be. I don't know. Maybe you are expecting
Marietta
a mom.
J. Chackey got the vocab.
She took her SATs back when people cared about words.
You're darn tootin'. I bet she got a 1900. Rough estimate.
Isn't it out of like 22?
Yeah, she didn't ace it. Oh. She did good enough to graduate. But...
Graduate? Do you need the SAT to graduate?
Just move on.
Quora time.
All right, Quora.
I've got a Quora article, and the question is, do you consider The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie, and why? And I have two answers for y'all. But I want you to know that these both came from actual experts on the internet. Like,
actual experts?
They actually like work in reviews or the movie business.
Ah.
But I still chosen these reviews or these answers. So at Shelby Sherman, whose qualifications include, quote, "I watch lots of movies and write for Ruthless Reviews."
Oh.
Says, "Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, hyperlink, is a Halloween Christmas hybrid that is wildly original and infinitely watchable. The cinematography, soundtrack, and yes, the character development are all quite amazing in this timeless holiday classic." Emphasis on holiday. "The setting of the film is Halloween Town, a bizarre landscape inhabited by a township of impossible looking creatures who rely on the leadership of Jack Skellington, fresh from yet another Halloween holiday success. The opening sequence sets the tone and is absolutely stunning. While the hobgoblins while the hobgoblins celebrate, Jack remains detached and unfulfilled. He clearly yearns for bigger and better holidays. Jack, with his ghostly dog Zero, stumbles upon a grove of holiday trees, finds Christmas Town down the rabbit hole, and is forever infatuated with the color and intriguing Christmas holiday." Can't relate, can't see them. "He is so impressed by Christmas that he is determined to move in on Sandy Claus and his operation, upgrading his participation in celebrated holidays. As you might suspect, things go horribly wrong as Jack and his hideous crew are ill-prepared to handle a holiday so markedly different from their own Fright Night." What I have to say about this is, sir, you barely answered the question and you gave away the entire plot to the movie. I don't think anybody asked for that.
Shelby Sherman's like, hey, okay, hold on. Hold my beer. I'm going to write a synopsis right quick. And then at the very end, be like, it's both.
Thank you, Shelby. We appreciate. No. This next one comes from Ken Miyamoto. And his accolades include, and I did not typo this. I copied and pasted it. They are a produced screenwriter, former Sony Pictures script reader slash story analyst, and former Sony Studios liaison.
What if it said for me?
I'm just annoyed with the produced screenwriter. He is definitely a producer screenwriter. Oh, maybe he is a produced screenwriter. Maybe he's written a lot of what are they called? Screenplays?
Mm-hmm.
And so he calls himself produced. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, he's been produced.
Yes, we've all been produced.
Ken. Oh, yeah, we have.
All right, well,
what does Ken say?
Their answer to the question is both, but it's more so about the dark and cynical world of Halloween Town, learning about the wonder and ideals of this strange celebration called Christmas. Would you like to sing this next part? Insert lyrics from What's This Here?
Okay, back to it.
You can look at it from hindsight and notice that maybe Halloween Town represents the current cynical times of our society that can't grasp the ideals of Christmas beyond presents. We can't grasp the thought and joy of giving rather than merely receiving. Beyond theory, though, which is always fun to discuss but is completely subjective hindsight, it's about Christmas and those trying to understand it amidst their cynical and dark world. Thank you, Ken. After way to like go back on everything you were trying to say. You were like,
it's both but it's Christmas. I got to thinking during your reading of that review and my singing, I was like, are we gonna get copyright struck or whatever, like what's the right thing for me singing? Are we gonna get a cease and desist from Disney because I sang those lyrics?
Hey, they are super like sue happy, so maybe just like take that out.
I'll just distort it and play it in reverse.
I'm just going to say, insert lyrics from What's This Here. And then.
And I'll just put that in it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I don't want us to get sued over freaking
your
singing.
But it was so good.
It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you have for me?
I have some IMDb user reviews. IMDb. Ready? We've got one coming in from user X Nemesis 24318 on December 2004. 1 out of 10 stars.
What?
A movie with feelings. They say, looks like Tim was really inspired when he produced this movie. The music was well done when he directed it. Also, the voices were well chosen. Jack had a good voices. This is the unique Christmas movie that Disney has aired and that I like. The plot was a bit used, but Tim knew how to fix it and make it look cool and good. I remembered the first time I saw this movie, I just loved it. In the scale of the 10 stars, I would give this movie 10 out of 10. Besides, I can't describe how awesome this movie is. This one and Moulin Rouge are my only favorite musicals. Also, Oogie was a good villain. I loved the next concept. The movie doesn't make people believe in miracles and that idiotic stuff. It tells a better plot. Overall, one of the greatest movies, I guess.
You gave it one
so
star.
A few things. In the review, XNemesis 24318 said that they would rate it 10 out of 10 stars. So I think they're a bit confused about how the star system works. but then also...
Moulin Rouge?
Saying Moulin Rouge? I don't know. Did that have anything to do with Tim Burton?
No, but saying those are the only two musicals you like is a little concerning.
It's kind of limited. I mean, they're both great films, but, you know.
It's very concerning.
There's a lot of other good stuff, too. So go check that out, X-Nemesis, even though, this was 16 years ago. So maybe they've expanded their horizon since then. But then also the fact that the people... the movie doesn't make people believe in miracles and that idiotic stuff. I was like, this person's so excited about this film, and then they were like, but miracles, bleh, that's idiotic.
They're not wrong. mean, what was the last time you experienced a miracle?
Just the contradiction between the overwhelming optimism throughout the majority of this review to
no,
the...
it's a movie with feelings.
Oh, it's got feelings.
And miracles are not feelings.
Okay, fine.
Well, all right.
Thanks, Ex-Nemesis, because your mistake led to my joy. And then I have another review from IMDb users from Project Anomaly 26 from September 2019. One out of 10 stars.
Oof.
The Nightmare Before Christmas. They say, the songs are pretty tough, the jokes aren't funny, and the romance is shoehorned. Why am I reviewing Christmas movies in the fall?
It's a good question, but also shoehorned.
Shoehorned. Yeah, they really shoehorned that romance in there.
People and their weird descriptive words, I swear.
Well, I mean, it's also not shoehorned. Like, the characters knew each other for a very long time and had a budding romance over a course of a long period of time, so it's to be expected. It's not like they shoved it in there. It's not like, hey, Sally, I'm Jack. Hey, Jack, I'm Sally. And then... How Jack met Sally.
Hey, Sally. Why was Jack the girl?
Don't worry about that. I had to roll with it. What are your reviews, Kristen? We got more?
Yeah, I have. Oh, okay. You guys.
I told you to buckle in, guys.
So I have.
Double buckle.
Decided to go another way for my last expert section. I have gone to Common Sense Media.
What's that?
And for those of you who don't know, I'm already one step ahead of you. For
always,
those of you who don't
time.
Know, Common Sense Media is a website where parents can go to review children and their suitability, not children, review movies and give them
me
a
as a
ranking.
Parent reviewing my child on the website. Sorry to interrupt you. It was just funny to me.
They review movies and give it like age suitability for children, like 3+, 5+,
okay.
10+, 12+. And then there's also a section where kids can review movies.
Oh, no way.
And I've got both for you. And let me tell you, before you watch any movie, I think you should go check out this website because I've never laughed so hard in my life and you will see why.
CommonSenseMedia.org. Do it now.
Okay. This first one comes from a parent at Comet Dogamundo.
Solid.
They say that this movie is recommended for age 12 plus and gave it 3 stars. The title of their review is A Sophisticated and Brilliant Fable for Teenagers and Adults.
Okay.
They say, we watched it based on the glowing review here, but it was a mistake. Tim Burton is brilliant and the music and art direction are amazing, but this is a very sophisticated story, way over my 8 and 12 year olds' heads, even with me pausing and trying to explain. First of all, don't pause and try to...
That ruins the point.
Comet Dogamundo, knock it off. And it is full of extremely disturbing and macabre images. Scary monsters under the bed or below the stairs, really freaky Halloween Town residents like the evil Frankenduck, and the kid with a hatchet in his head, and concepts like the fact that Halloween Town folks can't understand Christmas or what a toy or gift is supposed to be. If you really listen to the words of the songs, there's some very graphic and violent content, and the whole kidnapping Santa theme is hugely upsetting. Jack dispatches 3 scary goblins to kidnap Santa, and they first return with an obviously petrified pink fuzzy Easter bunny. This made my 8-year-old cry. They return with Santa.
Children crying brings me so much joy.
Dear Lord. They return with Santa, who is then tortured and writhing with his hands tied above his head by the boogeyman. Really horrifying stuff. We stuck it out hoping it would get better, but it really never does, at least for my kids. Maybe we're 2 unicorns and rainbows, but in my book, this really is a fable for older teenagers and grown-ups. Very sophisticated and edgy and brilliant, not at all for kids. Even older ones like mine, who is obsessed with every dystopian YA novel out there and very comfortable with vampires and the Hunger Games, etc. Who still believe in magic and fairies and goodness in the world? That was... very disjointed, but they were trying to say it's not at all for kids who still believe in magic and fairies and goodness in the world.
You're coddling them. Let them experience the scary. Embrace the darkness. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, Comet Dogamundo. Also, Lock, Shock, and Barrel are not goblins. They are trick-or-treaters. Anyway, I'm getting nitpicky about stupid things.
I'm going to read another one.
Do it.
This next one comes from another parent at TMAX21. They rate it age 8+ and gave it 1 star. The title of this review is Good for Teens, Not Okay for Younger Kids. They say, I watched with my 5 and 8-year-olds and really regretted it. It was very macabre. Oh my God.
Macabre's all over the place.
That's 3.
Macabre.
It was very macabre, violent, and dark. The main characters are dead and have eyes falling out with worms coming out and body parts that fall off. There are scary evil kids who kidnap Santa and sing a song about hitting Santa with a stick, boiling him alive, and chopping Santa into bits. I think it's probably okay for teens, but if there were a way for me to undo my children seeing that, I would.
That's like the best song.
Ooh.
Oh, I have nothing else to say.
Macabre.
Macabre.
So I then realized that kids were allowed to write reviews.
Wait, you didn't know that it was...
I didn't realize until I saw based on reviews from adults, and then I had a number, and then kids, and then I had a number. And I was like, that's what I want.
He's about to get juicy.
So this first one comes from at kid, 10 years old. They rated this ages 3+, 5 stars. And they titled it, Read to Find Out.
The number 2.
Read to find out. They say, this is the best thing you can watch! All you people that say it's scary or bad, you are crazy. I was Sally for Halloween. Unforgettable music. Jack is adorable. I called my cat after him. One of these faces. My favorite ever. Please see. Jack and Sally forever!
Forever!
Forever.
At kid, that was so wholesome. At kid.
At kid.
I appreciate you, at kid.
Okay.
What a super fan.
Are you ready for the one that made me cry laughing?
You've hyped it up. I'm ready. I got 3 buckles now.
Don't look. I'm gonna read it to you. Just
I'll just look at you.
This one's from teen, 13 years old. They rated it ages 18+, 3 stars. They titled it, Me Was Scared.
Off to a good start. Okay.
They said, when I watched this last week, I pooped in Fruit of the Loom undies.
Hold on. Wait, go back. What? Hold on. What? Okay, breathe. 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 What did they say?
They said, when I watched this last week, I pooped in Fruit of Loom undies. It was so scary, and it made me sad seeing this bad movie like Oogie Boogie more like I make kids traumatized boogie. And
this is a 13-year-old.
And how the scientist opened Sally's head and she drugged him and then her and Jack kissed and the ghost dog and then Santa. Santa scared me just thinking about a dangerously obese girl. Santa scared me. Just think about a dangerously obese grown man sneaking into your house through a chimney. Kinda impossible. Then he leaves packages of what could possibly be a remote detonated bomb, aka C4, and nightmares are bad. Very, very bad. This gave me violent pooping.
We're gonna make it through this. This is so funny.
This gave me violent pooping and peeing because of how scared in a walking tub. No, I don't think so. The tub was so dirty, like, why even get in it? And the only way it could move is with 10 AA batteries. And the kids should have been charged with kidnapping and be booked into Florida federal prison. This movie involves the man downstairs, the devil. I'm 13 and this made me poop, so this is traumatizing and terrible for kids. This should be rated R movie. And Sally is very obese and ugly. Kid?
What the
fuck? I don't know what I just read, but that was messed up.
You know what? I think your early Shelby Sherman, the Ruthless Reviews, a person who gave a synopsis, could take a few notes from this teen. That was spot on synopsis. I especially appreciated the pooping and peeing out of fear.
That was the whole thing about Santa sneaking into your house through nobody thought about Santa leaving a bomb until you said it, kid.
I fear this child has some anxiety problems. And
this is the one that John was like,
be okay.
How is this on the internet?
Oh, beautiful. How is this on the internet?
Who let their kid? This is like heavily monitored by parents is my issue with it. Like, okay.
Teens. All right. What can I say?
This next one comes from at kid, 12 years old.
Oh, the kid. The okay.
They're not allowed to have names.
Because they're chillins. That makes sense.
This one comes from at kid, 12 years old. They rate it ages 7 plus and give it 1 star. The title of this review is, honestly.
Oh, boy.
They say, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of movies. LOL. Basically, the plot goes like this. A guy named Jack Skellington lives in a nightmare-like town full of ghosts, goblins, witches, etc. He loves to celebrate Halloween. One day, he discovers a little passage that transports him to a town during Christmas time. He likes what he sees, so he wants to celebrate Christmas. He kidnaps Santa, shoves shrunken heads in presents, and then brings the presents to the kids in Christmas town. The kids and their parents get really freaked out, so what does Jack do? Nothing. He does nothing at all. He literally looks around the stupid mess he made, shrugs it off, and lets Santa go. And not because he's sorry for putting him through this. Oh no. He just lets Santa go so Santa can go clean up the crappy mess. There is no character development. Jack is really annoying, and there are some nightmare-inducing creatures. The one that actually scared me, and keep in mind, I'm 12, was the dude who stitched up Sally. He's what, her father or something? He looked really freako, and he acted pretty arrogant. Sally is a ragdoll with stitches attaching her limbs to her body and is a possible love interest for Jack. Of course, after Jack lets Santa go to clean up his mess, he doesn't do a thing. He merely says, oh well, not now time to plan Halloween. LMAO! What a terrible main character. I don't understand how this movie got such good reviews, LOLOL. And that's not even the worst part. During the weird little adventure Jack goes on, when he delivers the shrunken head presents, the news reporter says, a Santa impersonator has taken over Christmas and is delivering terrible presents to kids. Keep your doors locked. Christmas is ruined! That's right. She says Christmas is ruined because of a bunch of scary presents. That's not what Christmas is about. Guys, if you can't see that, I just... SMH. Finally, to top off the crappy mess of a movie, Jack goes smoochy smooch huggy huggy. I was doing so well up to smoochy smoochy.
You had it.
Finally, to top off the crappy mess of a movie, Jack goes smoochy smoochy huggy huggy with Sally on top of a random hill at the end. Why? They barely talk to one another. This ending made no sense at all, and there is way too much random singing. I might add, Jack starts singing ridiculous songs for no reason at all. LOLOLOLOL! That, ladies and gentlemen, is what a terrible movie is like. I will never get an hour and a half back. Don't waste your money or time. Skip the crap.
Jeez.
You got like half of the plot wrong,
oh
to be honest.
Oh my god.
He doesn't.
Okay. What I will say.
LOLOLOL.
Is LOLOLOL. I think this child, 12 years old, keep in mind.
Keep in mind, I'm 12.
This is not bad grammar. No. They've got one up on that 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And they can appreciate the importance of taking responsibility for one's own actions. So that gives me a sliver of hope for this child.
I also feel like they were like, I'm going to write a review like a professional. LOLOLOL.
They were like, I'm 12. Look at me. I am an adult.
Keep in mind, I'm 12.
Just having to emphasize that point. Okay. Any more?
Two more.
Oh, man.
This next one comes from...
Do I need to
from...
get a fourth buckle?
Yeah.
All right.
This one's... You can see all of the... spelling mistakes, so this is going to be rough.
You got this.
This one comes from @kid, 10 years old. They rate it age 5 plus, 5 stars. The title of this review is Fun, bracket, for kids, no end bracket. They say, I watched this at my friend's house. I don't break my mom's rules a lot, but my friends made me watch it, but it was good. I haven't used this website in a long time, but I remembered it yesterday and thought it'd be fun to write a review. My mom hasn't been using it either, but she hasn't let us watch anything lately, so it's okay. My friends are really nice to me, and I've been learning a lot from them. This movie was really cool. I like When Jack Goes to Christmas Town. It was really awesome. The music made me smile. Sorry if I misspell anything. I'm a slow learner.
I appreciate you, @kid. @kid number 4, whatever we're at.
I'm just glad you didn't say that you pooped your pants.
Yeah.
But.
Doing better.
Peer pressure is not a good thing. Especially when they make you break your mom's rules.
Okay, but honestly, how often do you think that happens? Where, like, a kid goes over to his, like, friend's house and the friend's parents have, like, looser rules.
Rules
with respect
are rules, to- Austin. Respect your parents.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to monitor my children when they go off to, like, our neighbor's house.
Maybe they're never going to their neighbor's house because of COVID.
It will be a thing forever.
I mean, at the rate we're going.
Yeah, no kidding. But, no, I'm hopeful that by the time I have kids eventually, which
I
don't anticipate
yesterday
anytime soon,
that you're not allowed to have children.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember
because
what
I'm
happened.
Because I'm not a trustworthy father because I said something probably disturbing. I
no,
also said
I think you
today,
dropped something and I was like, and that's why we can't have kids.
And the sound of children crying brings me joy. So there's that.
Do I look dead behind the eyes?
I don't know. Watch the YouTube video and let us know in the comments, folks.
All right. I have one last one.
Uh-huh.
And I put it in here because this kid is extremely woke.
Woker
especially
than the other one?
Compared to the one who thought Moulin Rouge was the best musical.
All right, all right.
This is from Kid, @kid, who is 12 years old. They gave this an age range of 7 plus and 5 stars. And the title of this review is Absolutely Fantastic.
Yeah.
They say, one of my favorite movies of all time. Some kids might be freaked out if they're squeamish or if they're too young. Otherwise, a movie filled with nonstop fun and one of the greatest soundtracks ever put to cinema. 10 out of 10, the second best musical of all time. Number one is Singin' in the Rain.
Ayo!
You're darn right it is.
That's why they woke.
Woke AF and no spelling mistakes. They used Absolutely Fantastic as their title. Like,
props to this person's parents.
This is a 12-year-old. Remember the other 12-year-old?
Remember the 13-year-old? I do.
And there you have it.
That was hard to read.
When I said I have never laughed so hard, Bart, like, from the time that I scared you the other day.
It is the season. Tis the season for scares. That was hilarious. And I appreciate you sharing those with me.
You're
such
welcome.
Fun expert opinions.
You're welcome.
I feel like I could have found more, but
that's what I'm
we got
here
to round
for.
This thing out, guys. That there's the debate, y'all, and those theirs are the expert opinions. So
that was not a good sentence.
No,
but
let me start that over. And that there's the debate, y'all. But if there's anything that you think we missed, you can email us your thoughts, updates, and additional debate points at copopod@gmail.com. Just put Court of Appeals in the subject line if you want to send us updates.
Or you can send us future arguments, just like something Jack Sapphire. Did. I remember things. I almost said Johnny.
Johnny Tsunami.
Johnny Tsunami, Jack Sapphire. They're the same person. You can send us future argument suggestions just like Jack did by putting debate about it in the subject line.
Sweet.
Thank you again, Jack, for your suggestions. Mm-hmm. We will certainly be doing them.
And thank you, Megan, for the Facebook comment.
I don't thank you, Megan, because you didn't mention me in the comment.
Oh, snap. Well, Kristen, what are we arguing next week?
Well, next week is going to be a super special episode for a couple of reasons. First, because it comes out on Halloween morning, the day of my people. Second, because we're going to try another little something new. Try another little something. We're going to try something new. Something a little new.
And what is that something new?
As anyone who knows us...
or has spoken to me for at least 12 seconds...
knows, we are both big podcast fans, especially podcasts that cover dark... Why macabre?
Because it's Why? The perfect adjective. Dark and macabre topics. Come on. Macabre is a good word. You know it. The world knows it.
Apparently.
Come on, Peanuts. Have my back on this.
Never.
Macabre.
Macabre.
Well, whether it be true crime or paranormal podcasts, we like to embrace the darkness, as I mentioned before. Yeah. So, to celebrate Halloween and some of our favorite podcasters, we're going to argue paranormal versus true crime.
But we're also going to drive our arguments home by each telling a story from a respective genre that we'll be representing in the court.
Heck yeah. So get ready for some spooky stories and some killer stories.
Well, thank you so much for listening to the Court of Public Opinion, a Loaded Dice production. If you like the podcast, please go into Apple or Google Podcasts, leave us 5 stars, and write a quick review as well. That will really help grow the podcast and get more people arguing these same silly debate topics in their own homes.
Yeah, genuinely, guys, take the 30 seconds it takes to write a review, because I'm going to read those, and then we might talk about them in the show, and... shout out to all y'all who have been going in and leaving us reviews.
Yeah.
Loving the wouldn't change a thing, 3 out of 5 stars.
Love
you
it.
You guys are hilarious.
So nice of you.
Seriously, thank you. And also, if you'd like to hear more of me, I star in another Loaded Dice production podcast, D&D Railed, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign set in the real world. There's a great soundtrack and a wacky group of fine feathered friends, and Jordan, our Dungeon Master, has laid out a pretty awesome world for us to create a story in together. So, if you're into D&D, go look up D&D Railed, the Griffin City Chronicles, on any of the podcast places. Right after you finish this episode, go do it, search it. Griffin City Chronicles.
Yeet. You can follow the Court of Public Opinion on Instagram at Copopod. That is at COPOPOD. You all should know that by now. I'm going to spell it every time anyway. And you can follow our adventure and travel Instagram at DoubleDown_adventures, where you can see us go on hikes with Molly, pumpkin patch visits, paddleboarding, and so on.
And then if you love the show, you can support the court or join the jury on patreon.com/copopod. That's patreon.com/COPOPOD.
How many times do you think?
We got to drive it home.
And what amazing people have done just that and have become members of the jury?
The Frankie Kerstetter.
Heyo.
Hell yeah, Frankie.
My fave.
We appreciate you the mostest in the entire uni multi omniverse, but I cannot let you go. I cannot let go of the fact that you pronounce it Jeef. That is unacceptable, and you're a monster. But still, thank you, Frankie.
There's so many things wrong with Frankie.
He messaged me and was like, I've been saying it wrong all along. Jeef, what? No, he's joking, but whatever. Thanks, Frankie. And lastly, a special thanks to Nathan Ruiz
for designing the Court of Public Opinion podcast logo,
AJ Curtin
for writing, recording, and producing our theme music,
and Gerard Marquez
for wheeling our wheelbarrow full of pumpkins around this weekend.
Fact.
Oh, and for being the voice of the bailiff at the beginning of every episode.
Hey, buddy. Thanks, Gerard.
Catch you guys next Saturday for Paranormal v. True Crime, and have an awesome week, Peanuts.
Court is... Oh, wait. Oh, wait, no. We didn't even give a verdict.
Yeah, I won. Okay, court adjourned.
It's both.
No.
It's both.
No. Oh, no.
Christmas and Halloween. Yeah. Court is adjourned.
Rude.